All right, Jabal, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Vav 126, and we are picking up on Kuf Chav Hem Beis 125b. And actually, let's pick up Kasava Rabbi Yossi. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. We actually left off a little bit below that, but let's just pick up there because it's the beginning of the sugya. But Kasava Rabbi Yossi. Tuma tmuna inobokas. So Moshe Rabbi Yossi holds that ultimately, again, hidden tuma does not go ahead and ascend. So says the Gemara, Umenat, we discussed it, we began to discuss this yesterday. Umenat tema. So Moshe, how do we know that hidden tuma does not go ahead and ascend? This is not an interesting case. Tevas hamigdol, shiyesh pa poseach tefach. So Moshe, the easiest way to imagine this is, let's say you have a chest. You have a chest, and what happens? In that chest, you have like cubbies. A little, I guess cubbies is going to be the right word. And what happens about saying? So ultimately, again, the interior of the cubby has an amma by amma. Excuse me, a tefach by tefach, right? It has a tefach space, which is the necessary space to be able to, well, we'll see. Let's just read it. So I have the cubby within the chest that has the opening of a tefach. The in bi yitzi'asa poseach tefach. But ultimately, again, the opening of the cubby is less than a tefach. So also what this is saying is, the interior space of the kabi, which is in the chest, has an interior space of a tefach, but the opening is less than a tefach. So what's the halacha? Tumah besocha, if there's a davar hatame, an item of tumah, inside one of the kabis, then what's the halacha? Habayis tame, right? Ultimately, again, so the house will become tame. The house will become tame as a result of the tuma which is inside of the kabi. Tuma babayis, but ultimately, again, if the tuma is inside of the home, or is not inside of the kabi, then masha besocho tar. Then that which is inside the kabi ultimately goes ahead and remains tahar. Why? What's the reason for that? Mipnei shederech tuma lotseis ve'in derech tuma likanes. For Rabbi say it is the derech of tuma ultimately to go out, and not the derech of tumah to come in. Take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. So Rashi says over here, Rashi says, tumah besocha habayis tame. It's in Rashi on the bottom, about 5 lines up from the bottom. V'yafa pisha pischa katan, kidi mefarish taima, mipnei shederech tumah lotzeis al karchach sofa lotzeis derech pesach zeh. Rabbi Osai, listen to this. When the tumah is inside of the cubby, so we say derech tumah lotzeis, which means the tumah at some point in time, we assume, is going to be removed from the cubby. And even though the opening of the cubby is small, it's less than a tefach, the tumah is going to be brought out. Because the tumah ultimately stands to be brought out, and when it's brought out, where does it get brought into? It's brought into the home. Therefore, the home becomes tumah as a result of the tumah in the cubby. On the other hand, when the davar hatameh, the tumah is in the home, it's not mitame that which is inside of the cubbies. Remember again, I will say, why not? Because the cubbies have an opening that is less than a tefach. That prevents the tumah from going in. And because there's no reason to assume that the tumah would be brought into one of the cubbies, therefore that which is inside of the cubby remains tahar. Take a look at Rashi. Masher besocha tahar. Ve'ein bi'etzi hoyo ve'ein bi'etzi yosef hoseach tefach. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting halacha. So just, you know, I'm giving you a business idea. When Mashiach comes and the laws of Tuman Tara are back, you know, you could sell to IKEA the new idea of the chest with cubbies with less than a tefach opening. Tuma-proof cubbies. Right? So you could keep whatever you want in it. That way, if somebody dies in the house, Baruch Hashem, everything in the cubbies is going to be perfectly fine because the tuma does not extend into a cubby that is less than a tefach opening. It's actually a very interesting idea. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds, mitar, mevnei shiyachu hulo tzia lachatzon, all the sarfa bim koma. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds that what Rabbi Yossi, even if the davar hatame is inside of the cubbies, the home is still going to be tahar. What's the reason for that? Because at the end of the day, you could bring out the davar hatame in pieces, or you could burn it in place. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yossi mitar kedem mefarish shema in sofa latzis derech pesach zeh shehei ba shir tuma shiyachalot tzila chatzon al sarfa bim koma. So what's this? Rabbi Yossi has a different logic. So remember again, According to the Rabbanon, if halacha lemaisa, remember, very simple case, you have a chest inside of a house with cubbies. Cubbies have less than a tabach of an opening. So therefore, I will say what? So again, if something dies inside of the house, that which is inside of the cubbies remains tahor. If something ultimately, again, if there's a davra tame inside of the cubby, so ultimately the house becomes tame. The reason for that is because we assume the davra hatame inside of the cubbies is going to have to be brought out at some point in time. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and he says, even if there's a davra tame inside of the cubby, the house is still tahor. Why? Because either you could destroy the davra tame inside of the cubby without ever taking it out, or you could cut up the davra tame into much smaller pieces, which will not convey tumah. Remember again, a mace, for example, only conveys tumas ohel if it's the size of a kizayis. Right? So for argument's sake, if you chop up the davra tame inside of the cubbies, into some smaller shear, and you take it out, it will not convey tumah. That's Rabbi Yossi. The Katani Sefer, and we'll say, look at the end of that braisa. Ha'emida b'pesach u'pischa l'chutz. We'll say, if you took the chest, that same chest, with the cubbies, and this way, instead of having it face into the house, it faces at the entrance way or at the exit, and it faces out, then what's the halacha? Tumah b'socha. If there is tumah inside of the chest, habayis tahar. Ultimately, again, the home will be tahar, which I will say makes sense, because like this, even if the davra tameh is taken out of the cubbies, it's what? It's going out, not going into the house. So what's the halacha? Habayis tahar, tumah babayis, but similarly, again, if there's tumah inside of the house, masha besocha tahar. Ultimately, again, that which is inside of the cubby will be tahar as well. And I will say, again, that's the same logic as before. That's because halacha lamaisa, even when it's pointing inwards, the opening of the cubbies are less than a tefach. Look at Rashi. Tuma besocha bayis tar. Mishum de mai ika litmuye ha tumas ohaleka. Dieshma poseach tefach. Below timuna hi. Mishum yitzir. Right, fine. It's Vitania lo posei tap of kuf chavov. And we stated about this. Rabbi Yossi metair. That Rabbi Yossi ultimately again is metair. To which the Gemara says, ahiyah. So which case is that referring to? Ile ma'aseifa. If you want to say that, that's referring to the latter part of the Braisa. Tanakama nami tahuri kometair. So we'll say in the latter case of the Braisa, where what? Where the chest ultimately again is facing outwards, the Tanakama also was metair. So Ela de Kaamar Tanakama, Tuma Besocha, Habayis Tame. Ultimately again, rather, what do we have to say? We have to be talking about the case where the Tanakama says that if the Tuma is inside of the chest, right, Tuma Besocha, so Habayi is Tame. The home becomes Tame. Imishum, the Derech Tuma Latzeis, either it's because of Osei, that when the Tuma is inside, right, Tuma Besocha, that when the Tuma is inside of the Kabi, so the home will become Tame. Now, why is that? Rabbi Osei, so either on one hand, Derech Tuma Latzeis. Rabbi Osei, there's an interesting halacha by Hilchos Tuma, which is that if the Dover HaTame is going to be brought out a certain way, we view it as if the davar hatame is already in that space. So for example, in this situation where the chest with the cubbies is inside of the house, the davar hatame is inside one of the cubbies. How are you getting that davar hatame out? How are you getting it out? It's going to have to what? Come through the home. If it's going to come through the home halachically, we could view it ultimately again what? As almost already, not as almost, as being inside of the home already, and therefore conveying tumas ohel. So the Gemara says as follows. So Tanakama says that when the chest is inside of the house, and the davra tamei is inside of the chest, therefore what? We view the home as already being tamei. Why? Mishum de derech tuma latzeis. That's the phrase. Derech tuma latzeis. The tumah is going to be brought out that way. Therefore, again, it will be tamei already. V'imishum de tuma tumuna vokas. Oh. Rabbi Yossi, now there's something else over here. Tuma tumuna, which means hidden tuma. Rabbi Yossi, what's the case of hidden tuma? That's like this situation where the davar atame is inside of the cubby, inside of the chest. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi, the tuma is not visible. It's what's called tuma tumuna. Maybe the Tanakhama holds that the reason why if the davar atame is inside of the chest, that the home becomes tame already, is because tuma tumuna bokas. Hidden tuma ascends. Hidden tuma ascends. V'ka'amr the Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds, dika amrit tuma latzeis. So Rabbi Yossi counters both points. And Rabbi Yossi will say, Tanakama, That which you said that the home should become tameh, when the davar hatuma is inside of the cubby, even though it's sitting in the cubby, you're saying that the house should become tameh. Why? Because derech tuma latzis. Because the tuma is also going to be taken out of the cubby and taken through the house. I could counter that by saying, yachahu lo tzia lechatzon. Number one, I could avoid that. How could I avoid that? I could cut up the tuma into smaller pieces, right? Thereby take away the possibility of tumas oil in the home, or the sarfa bimkoma, or I could burn it inside of the cubby. Either way, what Rabbi Yossi is saying is I could create a construct where ultimately, again, it doesn't require the davar hatamei to definitely be brought through the house. So that's number one. Udika amrit tuma tumuna bokas, and that's what you said, that hidden tuma ascends, right, goes up, that I could counter as well. Tuma tumuna eina bokas. Rabbi Yossi holds, I don't subscribe to that idea, that tuma tumuna bokas. I hold that tuma tumuna eina bokas. Good. So also I say, therefore again, all of this was just an exercise ultimately to show that Rabbi Yossi holds tuma tumuna eina bokas, that hidden tuma does not go ahead and ascend. So the Gemara says, V'rami, Rabbi Yossi et Rabbi Yossi. But here's the problem. We have to contrast two positions of Rabbi Yossi. Why? We'll say, what's the position of Rabbi Yossi? This stand. Here we go. Hakelev sha'achal basar meis. Well, so this is actually a very interesting case. So we'll say, so what's very fascinating about a lot of these cases is, although the Gemara is trying to bring all of this down, like, for example, we just brought down that entire discussion ultimately because of one concept of tumat tumuna, but it is fascinating to see how in the course of that conversation, there's a lot of other fascinating pieces of information that come up. This idea of a Pesach that's less than a Tefach could in and of itself be a barrier to Tuma. The idea of Derech Tuma Lotzeis, if Tuma is definitely going to be taken out a certain way, then by definition that area contracts Tuma even before the Davar HaTame gets there. This idea of Tuma Tumuna, hidden tuma, does it go up? Does it not? It's all fascinating. So I'll say the Gemara goes right there. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. Here's the problem. We have two contradictory positions of Rabbi Yossi. Why? What happened? This and that. Here we go. Hakelev sha'achol basar meis. So it was a very interesting case. Let's say you have a dog which ingested a corpse, right? Ate human flesh. Flesh of a corpse. Umeis hakelev. And the dog died. Umuto al ha'iskufa. And the dog is laying there dead across the threshold of my house. So we'll say, so now watch this. If you look at Rashi, Hakelev shachal basar meis umeis hakelev, de'ilu chai afilu nichnas labayis tar, kedar v'makasha, de'tumah v'lua b'balei chayim ina matame. So we'll listen to this. So the issue over here is, if the dog was alive, so the fact that it ingested human flesh would not pose a problem. Because tuma, which is absorbed by living things, ultimately does not convey to me. The problem I'll say is that now I have a dead dog, right? A dead dog that has inside of it human flesh. So the shaila is, what does that do alt tuma? So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, Remeir Omer, im yesh b'tzavaro, im yesh b'tzavaro poseach tefach, if there is an area of a tefach inside of its throat, so maybe es atuma. Ultimately, again, that allows it to convey tuma. V'imlav, but if there's not an interior space of a tefach, then eino maybe es hatuma. It does not conduct tuma. Now look at Rashi, was for just a moment. Im yesh b'tzavaro poseach tefach, rochav tefach b'tzavaro. So if there's a tefach of space inside of its neck, its throat, maybe es hatuma. Mishum d'dofno ha'elyon mahil ala tuma, v'rosho ha'sheni mamshech ha'oel lebayis, v'yotzei derech piv labayis. So listen to this. So essentially, if the throat of the dog is a tefach, it allows ultimately, again, for that tumah to exit its mouth and ultimately spread into the home in which it is now lying. If, however, there's less than a tefach in the throat, then it prevents ultimately, again, the tumah from spreading. Rabbi Yossi says, Rowan, this is actually very interesting, Rowan, mikineged hashako folifnim. Rowan. We look at the following. Mikineged hashako folifnim habayis tamei. Where is the dog situated? If it's from the doorstop, right, and in the interior, then it's considered to be in the home. And if it's in the home, it will convey tumah. Mikineged hashako folichutz. But it's from the doorstop and out, habayis tahar. ultimately, again, the home will be tarah. So look at Rashi. Rabbi Yossi Omer Roim es hatuma kasakadaitcha dehachi kamar. Botkin begufo es makom atuma im hayam in a mashkof v'lifnim. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to be arguing on the dimensions of the dog's throat. He seems to be arguing on where exactly the dog itself is situated. If it's from the doorstop and in, then halacha lamaisa, the bias will be tameh. The doorstop and out, the bias ultimately will be tar. Look at Rashi, tameh. Hashta kasakadaitcha adein savra tefach koi, the ka'amar rabbi meir habayis tar. Become rabbi yosi, imatuam in a mashkov lifnim, afapi she'im bitzavar rochov, lios oel, hare yesh kan oel gadol shabayis marilatum. Ostam chalal agarn imba tefach. So let's listen to this. Now what we're going to see over here is that we think that what Rabbi Yossi is saying is, even if the throat of the dog is not a tefach, but the dog is mina mashkof alifnim, ultimately is from the doorstop and in, then halacha lamaisa, the bias will become tummy. That's what he's arguing on. So he wants Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar says, no, piv lifnim habayis tar. If the mouth of the dog is facing inward, then ultimately, again, the home will be tar. Piv lifnim habayis tar. So ultimately, again, if the mouth is facing inward, then the home is tar. Piv lachutz, if the mouth is facing outwards, habayis tameh. They both say that it seems to be the opposite of what everyone else said. Watch this. He says, mipnei shetuma yotze derech shulav. Both say, literally translated, because the tuma would have come out of the dog by its hindquarters, which means they both say, once the animal ingests something, the only way it's coming out is if it excretes it. Therefore, interestingly enough, Rabbi Eliezer says that the only way the dog conveys tuma is if the opening through which the human flesh would have come out is situated in the home. Which is which opening? It's backside, right? So if it's all the other opinions are focusing ultimately again on the mouth of the dog, Rabbi Eliezer is saying ultimately again, it depends on where the backside of the dog is situated. Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says, Benkach u Benkach habayis tameh. And Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says, no matter what, Benkach u Benkach, Rashi says over here, first wide line in Rashi, Benkach u Benkach, piv lifnim, o piv lachutz, ben tumam mikenegen amashkof lifnim, ben shu lachutz, ben she tzavaro tefach, ben ein tzavaro tefach, vak kulu pligi, piv lifnim tameh, va'afa pishen sofo lotzeis, derech kan kasavar, af pederech kinisasi motziah. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer holds that in all these cases, ultimately, again, the dog, I should say the human flesh inside of the dog, will ultimately convey tuma. So the Gemara says, my love. So most remember, we're bringing all of this down for Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi held, we're bringing all of this down, I should say, to pose a question on Rabbi Yossi. My love, ain bitzavara paseach tefach koi Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi, are we not assuming that halacha lamaisa, Rabbi Yossi's case? Remember again, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that halacha lemaisa, we look at where the dog is situated. If the dog is from the door stop and in, the house will become tameh. Door stop and out, the house will become tahar. Are we not assuming that in Rabbi Yossi's model, this is true even if the neck is less than the size of a tefach? Ushma mina, what do you see from Rabbi Yossi? Ushma mina tuma tumuna bokas. The Rabbi Yossi, ultimately again, if Rabbi Yossi holds that we're talking about even where the interior of the neck is less than a tefach, then Rabbi Yossi say, what is that called? That's called tuma tumuna. That's going to be hidden tuma. And Rabbi Yossi say, what do you see? You see from here that according to Rabbi Yossi, tuma tumuna is bokas. Because Rabbi Yossi said that ultimately, again, if that dog is from the doorstop and in, it conveys tuma. So that would seem to indicate that according to Rabbi Yossi, even hidden tuma, in fact, does convey tuma. That contradicts what we just said before. Amarava, Rava says no. Rowan es chala hatuma katani. So Rava said rather again, what we have to do over here is we do have to look at the cavity of the throat in determining ultimately again if tuma is conveyed. Rabbi Yossi betarti pligi. Ultimately, Rabbi Yossi is arguing on 2 points. Vika amrei le Rabbi Meir, and he says the following to Rabbi Meir: Dika amrit kiish betzavara poseach tabach maybe es hatuma. So number one, Rabbi Meir, you said that in order for the dog, or I should say in order for the human flesh inside of the dog to convey tuma, so you said that the neck itself has to have an area of a tefach. So number one, anan basar chalala azlinan. So first of all, again, in that respect, Rabbi Yossi says that we go ahead and we look at the challah, right? We look at the cavity, at the opening. Furthermore, vidika amrat habayis kulo tamei, and furthermore, when you say that the entire home is tamei, mikineyet hashakuf vilifnim habayis tamei. Mikineyet hashakuf aluchutz habayis tahar. Ultimately, again, in a case where the mouth of the dog is facing from the doorpost and in, then einachinami, the home will be tamei. But if it's facing out, then the home will be tahar. Fine. Revacha Brei Drava, Masni La Behedja. So Moshe Revacha Brei Drava had a different gears of this, and he said as follows. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Roen Eschalal HaTuma. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we look at the cavity, right? We look at the opening for Tumah purposes. Uman Tana De Palagale. And Abba say, who argues on Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Design Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Abba say, Kuf Chavav Amadeis. Shalosh, this is actually very interesting. Shalosh Tumos Parshos Min Hameis. Essentially, there are three different ways in which corpse tuma can be conveyed. Three different ways in which tuma sameis can be conveyed. So we'll say, listen to this. Shtayim b'chol achos, u'shlishes in bahen. Then we'll say, out of these three, what you'll have is, in any two that you look at, any two of the three will share similarities, but will not possess a similarity of the third. Which means, we'll say, meaning every two of these possess the same similarities, but do not possess, let me say differently, between the three items that we're going to mention, there are going to be three concepts vis-a-vis Tumas Hameis. So all three possess two of the three qualities. None of the three possess all three. Does that make sense? Okay, good. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. So we'll say, watch this. So Shtayim B'chol Achos. So all three of these items possess two of the qualities. But do not possess the third quality. They and Rabbi say, and here are the three forms of what we'll call Tumas Hameis. Ve'elohim, Malei Tarva Drakem. So we'll say number one is a ladle full of corpse dust. We actually made reference to this yesterday. Etzem Kisora, if you have a bone the size of a barley kernel, right? V'golel V'dofek. And ultimately we'll say now, Golel V'dofek refers to the cover or to the wall of a coffin, right? Of a casket. So we'll say, so these are all items which convey Tumas Hameis. Now watch this. Here we go. So it says the Gemara, Malei Tarva Drakev. So we'll say, for example, if you have a ladle filled with corpse dust, so we'll say, so how does that convey Tumas? Here we go. Mitami Bemasa. So first of all, if you carry it, ultimately, again, it will convey Tumas. Uba Ohel. And if it's under the same roof as you, you will contract Tumah. But interestingly enough, ve'eno metame b'maga. But ultimately, it doesn't become tame b'maga. We're both saying, we actually had this yesterday. Why don't you contract? This is very interesting. If you touch corpse dust, you do not become tame tumas meis through maga. Why not? We're both saying, remember, we had this yesterday. Look at Rashi. Ve'eno metame b'maga. Rashi says over here, she'ein nogea b'kulan. Because we'll remember again, the problem or the issue with corpse dust is that it's not one cohesive entity. It's a series of individual granules. Therefore, again, when you touch it, you are only coming in contact ultimately with the granules you are touching. You're not holding the entire shear, you're not touching the entire shear of corpse dust. Therefore, again, you will not contract tuma als maga. So you'll contract tuma from masa, you'll contract tuma from ohel, but you will not contract tumas masa. Vehechan mago. So we'll say, so where do we find Tumas Maga? Well, apparently not with corpse dust, but we will find Tumas Maga ultimately again in the other form. So we'll say, see, now you're beginning to see. So essentially, the Gemara is saying over here is that when it comes to Tumas Hameis, there are three ways you could contract Tumas Hameis. Maga, Masa, Ohel. Right? Maga, touching it. Masa, carrying it. Ohel, being under the same roof. And what we're going to see is all of these particular items mentioned, you could contract Tuma in two of the three ways. Each item has the ability to contract Tuma in two of the three ways, but none of these items contract Tuma in all three ways. So, ladle full of corpse dust, you could contract Tuma ultimately through Masa, through Ohel, but not through Maga. Next, Etzem Kisora, this is very interesting. So we'll say if you have a bone fragment that is the size of a kernel of barley, so what's Talacha? Mitzame b'masa. So we'll say if you carry it, ultimately again, you are, right, you will become tame. Umaga, if you touch it, you become tameh. Ve'eino metameh ba'ohel. But interestingly enough, you will not go ahead and you. Did I skip a line? No, good, fine. But so we'll say. So again, if you have a piece of bone the size of a kernel of barley, shalach lemaisa maga, you become tameh. Masi become tameh. Ve'eino metameh ba'ohel. But we'll say it does not convey tumas ohel. This is actually very important. Tumas ohel is only conveyed with the kizayis of a mace, a kizayis or more. Not with a bone fragment. Vehechan ahalov. So we'll say, so where do we find Tumas Ohel? Im achas mehen, with one of the other cases. So we'll say again. So you'll find Tumas Ohel, for example, again, with the corpse dust. You'll find Tumas Ohel with other cases, but you will not find Tumas Ohel ultimately again with the barley sized piece of bone fragment. Golel v'dofek. What about the cover or the wall of a coffin? So metame b'maga. Rabos is obviously talking about if it's used for a coffin. So metame b'maga. Ultimately, again, it conveys tuma through contact, uba ohel, and it will convey tuma ultimately again if you're under the same roof as it. Ve'ino metame b'masa, but interestingly enough, you do not become tame ultimately through carrying it. I'm sorry.
Is there a body inside?
So there's no body inside. It came in contact with a body. No body inside right now. Ve'hechan maso, and we'll say ultimately again. So where do you find maso? Im achas mehen. With one of the other cases. So both sides, this is just an interesting case like this is actually very exceptionally helpful in terms of illustrating just the various forms of tumah. So both sides, so first of all, again, so we begin to see that in the laws of tumah, there's maga, masa, ohel. And what we see further is that you don't really have a case of a davar hatame which contracts all forms of tumah. Rather, again, but you see everything pretty much gets two out of the three. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, Kulis Nevela v'Kulis Hashem. So we'll say the next part of the Mishnah said as follows. Remember, again, going back to, Sunday or yesterday? No, so we'll say, so if you have a bone, and inside of you have the bone of a Nevela, or the bone of a Sheretz, and there is marrow inside of the bone, so what's the halacha? If the bone is sealed off, and therefore you have no access to the marrow, so the marrow does not convey tumah. If the bone is open, even any opening, and therefore there is, technically speaking, access to the marrow, then halacha lemaisa, you will become tameh. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, so kulis nevela v'kulis hasheres, so Tan Rabbanon, let's analyze this, b'nivlasa v'lo b'kulis stuma. So we'll say the pasuk when speaking about tumas nevela says that if you touch the nevela, you will become tameh. But we darshan from that what? We darshan from that, but not through the closed off marrow. So it's only contact with the nevela itself which conveys tuma. But if the marrow itself, meaning if there's no flesh on the bone and all there is marrow and the bone is closed off, that will not convey tuma. Yochala filu nikva. You might think that's true even if the bone was pierced, right? The bone is, there's an opening there. Tamalomar hanogea yitma. Ultimately, the passage says, if you touch the nevela, you'll become tameh. Es she'ef sh'liga tameh, ve'she'ef sh'liga tar. If you can touch the davra tameh, then ultimately you become tameh. And if you can't touch it, you're tameh. Therefore, I will say, where there is even a small opening in the bone, which technically allows me to touch the marrow, so therefore the bone will convey tumah. The marrow will convey tumah through the bone. But if the marrow is sealed off, i.e. there's no way to touch the marrow, therefore again, halacha lemaisa, the bone will not convey tumah. Amar Rabbi Zira la'abayi, so Rabbi Zira says, la'abayi alami ato, behema ba'or lo titma. If that's the case, Rabbi Zira, so listen to this. Based on what we just said, essentially what we're saying is as follows, that the only way to contract tumas nevela is if you have the ability to touch the flesh. If you can't touch the flesh, then halacha lemaisa, you don't become tameh. The Gemara is learning that from the marrow. If the bone is sealed and there's no way to get to the marrow, then the bone does not convey tumas nevela. If there's an opening in the bone, and therefore, technically speaking, I could touch the marrow, then the marrow will convey tumah. Well, if that's the case, says Rabbi Zeir Tabaye, if I'm holding an animal, right, I have a piece of nevela, and the hide is still on, and I'm touching the hide, I should not contract tumas nevela. Why? Very simply, because I'm not touching the meat, right? Or therefore, so again, the animal died, it's in the bela, I'm touching the hide, I'm not touching the meat, I should be tar, because ultimately, again, I'm not touching the basar. To which the Gemara says, puk chazi. Rabbi Abai says back to Rabbi Zeira, go out and look, kamana kavim yeshba. Go and look at an animal and see how many places the hide is pierced. and you could actually touch the flesh. So we'll say what he's suggesting over here is that even when the hide is on the animal, the flesh is absolutely accessible, because just look at how many places the flesh itself is pierced, the hide itself is pierced, that you could have access to the flesh. Therefore, again, even if the nevela still has its hide on, ultimately it will convey tumas nevela. Elamiata, but using the same Amalei Rapapala Rava. Elamiata kuya bechelba lo titma. Aye, but 1 second. So if that's the case, I will say that when kulya is a kidney, if the kulya is surrounded ultimately again by its chelev, I should not contract tumah ultimately again from the kulya of an avela, because at the end of the day it's surrounded by its fat, and therefore I'm not touching the kidney directly. To which the Gemara says, Tachazi kamachutin nimshach nimeno. Not true. Look at the kidney and you'll see how many strands of kidney flesh extend into the fat as well. And even when you touch the fat, you are in fact touching the kidney as well. Correct. By Rav Oshia. Chishev ala lenokva. So that's another interesting case. Let's say I have the bone. Back to the bone case. So I'll say in the bone case, so halacha lemaisa again, we just got finished. The one thing we've established is, if the bone is closed, right, then the marrow, ultimately of a nevela or a sheretz, does not convey tuma. If the bone is open, then the marrow of the nevela, and of the sheretz does convey tuma. What about the following case? I had in mind to pierce the bone, but what? I didn't. So I was going to crack open the bone, make a little hole in the bone to access the marrow, and I didn't. So chishev ala lenokva v'lo nikva. But I didn't do it in the end. Mao, mechusar nekiva kimechusar ma'aseh dami. Olo, but say, do we say that my intent to pierce the bone is as if what? The bone is pierced and open and therefore conveys tuma? Or no? I don't. It doesn't really matter what I think. What does it matter? But say, what does it matter? It matters what I do. And it's mechusar ma'aseh. Right now the bone is still closed up. It's not pierced. And therefore, lach ma'aseh shouldn't convey tuma. To which the Gemara says, hader pashta mechusar nekiva. We'll say ultimately again, they answered afterwards that when ultimately again it is mechusar nekiva, if halacha lemaisa, we'll say the bone is not pierced, then it's not kimechusar maisa. Shabbos tells you something amazing, which is that halacha lemaisa, as soon as you have intent to pierce that bone, halacha lemaisa, we view it as if what? The bone is already has an opening, and therefore the marrow has the ability to convey tuma, even though b'metzios, the bone itself is actively closed off. Pretty amazing. All right, we'll say that's how the sugya ends. Let's go right through the Mishnah. An interesting case. Beitzas hasheretz hamirukemes tohora. We'll say if you have an egg of a sheretz, right? So the sheretz is in an egg. Mirukemes, we'll say, means that an embryo has formed inside of the egg. An embryo has been, so we'll say, so first of all, just to, when we end off that previous sugya, there's an incredible musar in that. See, we often think, and it's true, it's not what you think that matters, but it's what you do, right? It's what you do, which is absolutely true. But we see that, what does the Gemara say? What you think and how you think absolutely serves to shape the reality around you. That lamais, again, it's true. Emphasis in Yiddishkeit is placed on not what you think, but what you do. But you see over here that halacha lamaisa, intent to pierce the bone, creates the reality as if the bone is pierced. So although we place an incredible emphasis on maisa, on actions, but at the end of the day, what you think and how you think absolutely shapes the realities around you. Okay, incredible. Beitzas hasheretz hamirukemes. So what I say, if you have the egg of a sheretz, and there's an embryo inside of the egg, so a little sheretz, right? So there's a little sheretz inside of the egg. So what I say, so what's the halacha tohora? Now, what does it mean, tohora? If I handle the egg, I'm tar. Now, we'll say, eye contact with the sheretz ultimately can make you tummy. Again, simple case, why am I tar? Because the egg is closed, right? The egg is closed. I'm coming in contact with the egg. I'm not coming in contact ultimately with the sheretz. Take a look at Rashi. Beitzas hasheretz, yeis sheretz shi matal beitzim. So first, I was just pointing out, this is obviously talking about the type of sheretz that ultimately goes ahead and lays eggs. Tahora, Rashi says, lefishi efshar ligaba. Because I can't touch the sheretz because it's closed off by the egg, therefore I am tahor. So nikva kolshu, we'll say, what happens if the egg is pierced in any way? So tame, ultimately again, I become tame through contact with a sheretz. Rashi says, Nikva koshu tmeo, vava bishlo naga. Now, we'll say, I want to be clear over here. What's happening? If the egg is pierced, they will say, it's not to shut the egg is pierced, and I'm sticking my finger in there to touch the sheretz. I'm just holding the egg. I'm not coming to that. Nevertheless, once the egg is pierced, it is, and I hold the egg, it is ki'ilu, I'm holding the sheretz itself, and therefore, again, I become tamei. I become tamei. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the Mishnah says, Achbar was an interesting case. Achbar, shechetzia basar vechetzia v'adama. If you have a mouse, it's a little translation of mouse, right? Some type of sheretz, where half of it is flesh and half of it is earth. Right? So we'll say, what this means is, this is a descriptor. Right? This is what it looked like. So it's some type, they call it an achbar, they call it a mouse, but it's some type of mouse that the front part of it looks fully formed, but the back of it kind of looks a little bit like a, what the right term of this is, like a glob. Right? Like a glob. So meaning the hind quarters or the hind legs are not as fully formed. So therefore, again, the way the Mishnah describes it, I don't know exactly what type of animal this is, but however the Mishnah describes it is, the first part of it looks like flesh, and the back part of it looks like adama. Looks like earth. So I'll say, so what's talocha? So hanogeh bebasar tameh. If one touches the part that looks like flesh, you become tameh. Ba'adama, if ultimately you touch the part that looks like earth, tar. Ultimately, again, you will be tar. Rabbi Yehuda says, Afanogea ba'adama shekineged habasar tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you touch, ultimately, again, the adama, the part that looks like earth, that is opposite the part that looks like flesh, you will become tameh. Rabbi will discuss what this means in the Gemara. Tanra Abanon. Here we go. Hatmeim. When the Torah speaks about the sheretz, it says hatameim, those who are tamei, l'rabos beisas hasheretz, v'kulias hasheretz. Say that comes to include what? That comes to include the egg of a sheretz, which if you touch it, you can become tamei, and the marrow in a sheretz bone, which ultimately conveys tumah. Yachalaf lo rikma. I would have thought that the egg of a sheretz conveys tumah, even if there's no embryo inside of the egg. Talmud lomar hasheretz. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, the pasuk says hasheretz, masheretz sherakam. Just like Rabbi Yosef, in a stam case of a sheretz, you're only chayiv you only become tummy for contact with the sheretz if the sheretz is formed. Af beisas hasheretz sherikma. So, Rabbi Yosef, you only become tummy if you hold the egg of a sheretz. If what? If the sheretz becomes fully formed. If there's an embryo inside of the egg. Yachal afilo lo nikvo. I might have thought this is true even if the egg is not pierced. Talmud lomar hanogeya yitma. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, if you touch it, you touch the sheretz, you'll become tamei. Es she'ef sharliga tamei, ve'ashi'ef sharliga tar. If you could touch the sheretz, you become tamei. If you can't touch the sheretz, you become tar. Which I will say means what? That halacha lemaisa, if the egg is closed off, you cannot become tamei. If the egg is pierced, then you can become tamei. Ay, v'kama nikibasa. And I will say, how much of a piercing in the egg do you need in order for it to convey tumas sheretz, kichut hasaira? It will say, even just a tiny little pierce, like a hair's breadth, tiny little pierce in the shell of the egg, ultimately allows the tumas sheretz to be conveyed. She'ef shaliga kichut hasaira. Because we'll say, even if there's a small little piercing in the shell of the egg, halacha l'maisa, again, that provides you access to the sheretz, and access to the sheretz ultimately, again, conveys tumah. Good. So we'll say, so this is an agreed upon concept. Stam, a egg of a sheretz without any kind of embryo on the inside does not convey tumah. If there is an embryo on the inside of the egg, does the egg convey tumah? It depends. If the egg is whole, then ultimately no conveyance of tumah. If the egg is pierced, even in the smallest amount, then halacha lemaisa, it does convey tumah. Well, let's just go a little bit back to Achbar Shechet. So then the Mishnah's interesting case of a mouse, which as described in the Mishnah, is half flesh and half earth. So I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So we'll say, remember again, what's the halacha? What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, in this case, if you touch the fleshy part of the achbar, you become tameh. If you touch the earthy part of it, you are tar. So I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Vahu shehishritz al pnei kulo. We'll say, if you look at Rashi, this is Rashi about seven lines up from the bottom. Vahu shehishritz. Chetziyav al pnei arko shal sheretz mirosha vadraglov. Klamer shemitzad echot hunase basar. So we'll say, so comes along Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and says, when do you become tameh? If you touch the earth part, only if one full side of that sheretz has been fully formed. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's understanding that we're talking about over here a maturing mouse. So apparently, as the mouse is developing, the front part is basar. The end part, it looks like earth. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, when do we say that if you touch the Adama part, it can become Tameh? That's only if the Adama part is opposite one of the fully formed parts. Apanei kula ika. So the Gemara says, ika demasri la seifa. So some explain this as regarding the seifa. So we'll just finish this piece. Rabbi Huda Omer, afanogea ba'adama shekeneged basar Tameh. Remember, in the seifa, Rabbi Huda says that if you touch the earthy part that is opposite the fleshy part, you are Tameh. And the Rishuban lady comes along to say, Bahu Shehishrit Alpine Kulo. That's only assuming that one entire side of the earthy part, of the fleshy part, is fully formed. So for example, let's say the top of the mouse is fully formed, the bottom on the back side is not. So Rabbi Huda is saying, if you touch the bottom on the back side, as long as it's opposite the fully formed part, you will become Tameh. So the Gemara says, So man de masni la areisha kol shekena seifa. So the one who understood Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's statement as referring ultimately to the Reisha will certainly agree that it applies to the Seifa. Uman demasni la Seifa, but the one ultimately who says that it applies to the Seifa, aval Reisha, he will say the Reisha case of Osai, which is the case of where you're touching the actual buster of the mouse, afa gabdalo hishritz. You will become Tameh, if you even say you'll become Tameh if you touch part of the fleshy part of the mouse, even ultimately, again, if you don't have a full side of the mouse, which has become full basar. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emiratz Hashem with this mouse, half earth, half flesh, Emiratz Hashem tomorrow.